Places, please. Places for the top of Theater Countdown.
Hello! Welcome to Theater Countdown with an R-E, because we are classy dames over here. I am Michael Judson Berry, known as Juddy, over here with my Broadway buddy Ben Cameron.
Hey,
Hello. And real quick shout out, follow us on the socials if you haven't already. Theater Countdown with an R-E, except for on Twitter, because we're Theater Count, because as we say on X, nobody got time. And today we are continuing our countdown of musicals that we would love to see as movies. We also have a very special guest today.
We sure do.
Joseph Ellis, who
is everywhere.
You have seen this human. We all love this human. He talk about a person who wears a lot of hats or wigs, if you're in my world. Yeah. I'm just thrilled to continue on with this, because this was tough.
As
we discussed last time, so many musicals that we love have already been made into movies.
And I want to go back to this point because it's been haunting me a little bit.
Yes.
It's in particular the Golden Age musicals.
Yes.
All of the Golden Age musicals of note that most of us have even heard of have been made into films.
Yeah.
Kate,
overwhelmingly. Met.
Yes.
Zorba is a film. Yeah. And Dorothy Loudon was in none of them. Carol Burnett took all of those roles.
Gosh darn it. So there's not as much room to play as one might think. So we're really pushing the envelope and broadening all of our horizons with our list.
Because I think we decided that we can't do ones that was made into a movie that we feel like it needs a new movie, like MAME. Or something like that, where it's like, there's a movie musical, but like, does it deserve better? But that's another list for another day.
Yeah. I don't see any reason to not get, we have a lot of personality walking in the door here in two seconds.
Do.
So let's put on our welcome pants.
Our Sunday clothes. And let's zippity-doo-da-day over.
Oh my gosh, I was feeling down and out. Let's go have my picture took, which I'm literally going to do. In about 25 minutes, let's go have my picture took.
So exciting.
I'll just tell everybody real quick. I'm hosting this series in New York that plays camp movie classics on Wednesdays at this fabulous dine-in movie theater. And we're watching Mommy Dearest in a couple weeks and doing the Grease sing-along and Showgirls. And I'm doing shtick and hilarity. So if you like really over-the-top campy movies and you happen to be in New York on a Wednesday, come see me. That doesn't matter. What we were saying is put on your welcome pants, zippity-doo-dah. Come on in. It's Tyler Joseph Ellis.
Benjamin.
Yes, Michael.
I just became French for the brief moment that I said your name.
Do you know, that is the correct pronunciation. I'm just going to tell you very quickly that I know that that's the correct French pronunciation because Celine Dion, in her very early career, recorded a French song called Benjamin. And I have heard it, and I'm a Celine gay from way back. And the whole song, she just sings my name exactly the way you said it. So I feel put at ease. Thank you.
Well, Benjamin, I am so excited because we have a fabulous guest today. The most fabulous guest. I have to say, I'm very excited because I've been a big fan of this human for quite some time. Fabulous actor, writer, singer, also amazing social media personality with hilarious content. It is none other than the absolutely wonderful Tyler Joseph Ellis. Thank you so much for being here with us.
I think you nailed that, Michael, personally.
Did I really?
That,
yeah. Okay.
That was great. That was lovely. I feel good. I feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Good.
So thank you. Yeah, yeah.
You've
got me all primed. You can do anything you want to me now.
Oh, my.
You know what? Listen. Michael, You've done it to both of us so quickly.
What made you feel warm and fuzzy?
Yeah.
That might be a medical condition.
As an introductorer.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, I'm nervous because you both are much more experienced at interviewing people. Tyler, I mean, I feel like you're on every Broadway red carpet rehearsal room somewhere interviewing people, and you're very, very good at it.
Thank you so much for saying that. Thank you.
I think the truth is, if people don't know you and follow you, then they're living under a rock or in the core of the earth. I feel like You have carved such a wonderful path for yourself, Tyler, that has blossomed into all these things that I don't even know if you could have imagined it would have been.
Yeah,
when
not at
you
all.
First stuck a camera in your face and buffooned.
And buffooned. To buffoon, my favorite verb. Yeah, you're completely right. I consistently think back to just a older, rather younger version of myself that just decided to do it. I, you know, just make silly videos on the internet to appeal to the theater kids that were, you know, struggling in the pandemic. And then now it's turned into a strange career. It's just so bonkers. And I'm just grateful for my old self. I just can't believe I had any desire to make anything during that time. I look back and I'm like, how did I think I needed it. I needed it to, you know, stay afloat, but I could have just as easily found something else, something perhaps more destructive. So I'm just glad that I didn't, you know,
found knitting or black tar heroin, but instead,
you know, I
created,
you know,
amazing content because you graduated from college in 2020, correct?
That's like correct,
you,
yes.
From school, you went to USC?
I went to USC, the University of Southern California.
Mm-hmm. And you studied theater.
Theater and minored
and
in marketing.
And the world shut down.
Oh, correct. Yeah.
So is that like you just find yourself and you're like, I just spent all this time studying and now I just need to create? Or like,
yeah, that's sort of, I mean, I was really on the path, I was getting my equity card in my final semester doing a show outside of school. I was doing Passion, Stephen Sondheim's Passion.
Laugh Riot.
Yeah,
Laugh
so
Riot.
Fun. It's a funny, it's a farce. Yeah. And
it
so
is.
I was doing, yeah. And so I was.
My version
was. I
did a three-person Passion. It's a long
terrifying,
story.
Terrifying.
Probably yours
stuff
was much better.
Yeah. I was very proud of the production. It was very, I wasn't Georgia. I was Count Ludwig of Austria and
Fosca.
I was Fosca. Yeah, Fosca. But I was doing that, and we were two previews in, and then, you know, everything shut down. And then I was supposed to, on the night of my graduation, open another show in LA. I was going to do a little night music. So I was like on this path to do like LA Sondheim Theater. And it just sort of, you know, it that didn't happen for me. But to sort of answer your question, I really went through my entirety of college considering myself an interpretive artist. I was like, I'm an actor, I interpret other people's words. I occasionally directed things, but again, you're directing other people's words. I never considered myself a writer by any means. I just liked making people laugh and doing bits. And then I really just honed another sort of skill, knowing how to write for myself, knowing, you know, how to write things in a really limiting, like, minute timeline, you know, that kind of thing. And then now writing is one of the things I'm most passionate about, and writing more long-form stuff. So, yeah, I think I just, during that time, I couldn't interpret anyone else's stuff because nothing was happening. So the creative instinct sort of kicked in. But it took me till after graduating college. So I always tell people in college currently, if you feel that, you know, you really start learning after college, at least in my opinion.
It's all so when I first started seeing your stuff, what's wild about it and made me chuckle and feel so seen and exposed from the get-go, it's all so specific. Like, it's so to the heart of the theater kid experience. I from the people sitting in the audience who are watching the other shows and judging and like all the, it's just every one of us has been in that mind space. And how do you know which parts of the experience to try to capitalize on or exploit or imagine?
Well, first, thank you. That's my only goal. I think for me, because I'm a theater kid,
right,
and I think with me, it's my North Star has always been, and I always tell people that want to go into making content, especially comedic content, I'm like, make stuff that you think is funny, and if it doesn't do well, you can still be proud of it. You know, it's when you start pandering and sort of sacrificing your own artistic merit for views, is that's when you lose the magic. So for me, that's always been it. Like, and sometimes that thing also coincides with views, but sometimes it doesn't, and that's fine. But I can always scroll through my own stuff and laugh. Like, my goal is to make myself laugh. And with the specificity, like you were mentioning, for me, it's like it's something I want to explore things that I haven't seen made fun of. Mm. Like the cell phone pre-show announcements was a huge series that I did for a long time because I realized that it was really becoming a trend to do in theme, in character, cell phone, pre-show announcements for videos. And I was like, oh, that's sort of a never-ending well of content because you could just do them show to show. So I was like, oh, that was an idea of like a series-related thing kind of meeting an idea. But that doesn't always happen. Yeah, I think like doing a – whenever I think of an idea or I see so much theater too. So I'm constantly, you know, faced with – you know, the cliches of this experience. And that's the best. When I see something that I'm like, oh my God, that is a perfect thing to make fun of. Or, you know, poke fun at or shed light on. The best thing, like, for example, one of my best ideas, in my opinion, was doing an actor talk back. Like what you're watching an actor talk back and the minutiae of that experience and how we all fall into the same sort of pattern of speaking when we're in a talk back and sort of exploring that was I was like, oh, my God, I've never seen that done before. And I feel like a good person to because I've been the actor and also been the audience member rolling my eyes. So, you know, it's that I just constantly like excavating this really niche experience and then figuring out that so many other people have experienced the same thing. Yeah, it's bonkers.
Yeah. And it kind of lampoons real. Well, not kind of. It absolutely lampoons the fact that we as theater nerds are just monstrous in many ways. We're just of a really horrifying ilk.
Horrifying. Because we're both so sensitive and also so judgmental.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. So it's
always
a fun
at a 10.
To, like, always at a 10.
At a 10.
Yeah, exactly. Like, truly insecure, but also the first to sort of throw a mean comment. It's an interesting life.
We're a fascinating bunch, yeah.
What has been, kind of talking about the things that have branched off from the social media of it all, what has been kind of the most exciting elements of that? Like we were saying, the red carpets and you know, being a correspondent and kind of always being on the front line now of any theater events, period. What has kind of evolved? You talk about writing for longer form now.
Yeah. There's so many things. That's such a good question. Obviously, the interviewing was a really fun sort of risk that I knew I always wanted to be a Susan Blackwell figure, like, and having my own side-by-side by Susan Blackwell sort of really casual interview style of Broadway stars. That was always the dream. You know, she's a hero of mine. So when I was, you know, faced with the opportunity to – it was the first one. My friend Dylan Mulvaney was doing her Day 365, and the publication Theaterly was like, hey, you know her. Do you want to, like, just interview on the carpet? It'll be so much more fun if it's you. And I'm like, for sure. And then I never stopped. I just kept doing it. I just and it was so much fun. And the best, most rewarding part of doing it is when a hero of mine knows who I am. Like, they approach me on the carpet and they're like, oh, and one, makes the interview so much fun. And two, just makes me blush and feel cuckoo bananas. Like, the fact that Rachel Dratch knows who I am is so crazy. You know, I'm like, how? So that was great. And then also what I was really hoping moving to New York and doing this content thing, and, you know, some people were nervous that this wouldn't be the case, but it worked out, is that people trust me as an actor and a performer still. I was a little nervous as I kept doing it that I'd be pigeonholed into this thing. And there's definitely people in this industry that do. Like, I'll find myself in a workshop of a new show and then an actor being like, God, I was kind of like skeptical when I saw your name on the cast list, but you're really good. And I'm like, oh, okay. But I'm like, I don't know why making content on the internet is sometimes viewed as like a less than. I'm like, that should be viewed as a secret weapon. Whereas I think maybe the tides are changing a little bit, but, you know, theater is always, you know, 7 years behind every other industry. So I'm just grateful to be also taken seriously as a, you know, a musical theater performer and a performer still. So I think a huge, big surprise is being asked to do workshops of new shows and readings of new shows and just, you know, hey, Tyler's funny. Like, there's a funny character in this. Just the fact that I can simultaneously make a name for myself in the industry that I love so much and also be making content about it is really, really gratifying. And hopefully that will keep happening.
And creating your own projects, like you said.
Oh,
like,
yeah, we're working on them. We're working on some.
Co-star.
I saw, oh my God, you did the research, girl.
Oh, no. Listen, it came Thank up. Thank you. And I was,
see,
like,
introductor.
Hysterical. Can you just talk, like, briefly on that?
Oh, no, of course. Yeah. My friend Eddie Gray and I, we met doing a workshop of Muriel's Wedding, the musical, in 2022. And he was the accent coach because he was Australian. We had to speak an Australian accent. So he was helpful. No, Eddie Gray, thanks for the accent work. and then, so we, you know, we have very similar senses of humor. And he approached me being like, I really want to make something. And I said, yeah, sure. And then he was the one that was like, let's meet every week and write something and come up with ideas and have a timeline. He was, thank God I had him, because he was like tethered me to real life. I was so intimidated by the whole process of making my own short film. I was like, ah. So we co-wrote this thing and he directed it and I starred in it. And it's essentially based on, you know, events that our friends went through and sort of that we went through, which is you book a co-star on a TV show, which is like under five lines. And you know, the feeling of, oh my God, I'm making it, like I'm finally in a TV show, but also what happens if your lines are cut, which happens a lot. And so that's sort of the, I play a character who gets their first co-star, really lets go to their head, and then right before he presses play, he realizes, he gets a call from his agent saying that he was cut from it. So it's him going through everything, but like trying to tell his friends anything but the truth, and would rather like destroy friendship than tell the truth and embarrass himself. God. So it's very funny, and we're sort of in post-production. We're fundraising for it. So if anyone has any spare change and wants to donate to a piece of art, just go to our Seed and Spark campaign on my Instagram. Yeah, you're never not publicizing, never not promoting. No, but I'm very excited about it, and it only makes me want to do more of them. It's sort of, you know, it's a different beast. I feel like I know theater so well, and then you go into film, and I'm like, oh my God, this is, one, so expensive, and two, just a different beast. But I love it. I love being a beginner in a space, so.
Well, and once again, though, you're bringing all of the things that you have harnessed and know about the inside out of being an actor and put that into this. Once again, it's the monstrously hilarious thing.
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah. Also, I just want to say for everybody, if you dive in to Tyler's Instagram, about every 14 to 15 hilarious clips, you will get a thirst trap.
Yeah.
Just
don't
every
worry.
So often. Every so
don't
often
worry.
You'll get.
Wait, sorry. Let me just pop on there real quick.
Pop on there real quick. There's some stuff on there.
We're like, I'm black and white, and I'm pensive. And there's, I'm in a pool. And
there's that. There's some pool.
I mean, you wear a pink suit very well, too.
Thank you so much. I love that suit.
And also, right, you'll get some fun cabaret songs like and mashups like Michael in the Bathroom with Super Bass.
With Super Bass by Nicki Minaj. One of my best. Yeah, there's some stuff in there. You never really know what I'm going to give you. You know,
it's spicy.
Spicy, some sweet. We'll see. Gosh. But thank you. You're really selling me. I feel so good right now.
But you're an easy sell. You know.
Yeah.
Thank
well,
you.
Guess what? It ends now, because now it's time to play one of our cutthroat theater games, which generally speaking takes us all down a peg or two, frankly.
So don't worry.
So let's bring in our game master Chris, who is a vicious, hateful game master. I'm just kidding. He's a cuddle bug. We love him.
He's a lovely person on a spaceship.
Yeah.
Aww.
We do have a game. It's called One Star Reviews. This episode's countdown is top musicals that should be movies, so I thought we'd read some reviews for musicals that people thought should not be movies. I'll read three reviews for each movie. Your job is to name the musical. If you know it, just shout out, and then we'll see if you're right.
Okay.
Just to clarify, we're talking about movies that should be musicals.
Movies that
the countdown,
were
yes, but these are all movies that were musicals that exist. Yeah, that people did not find to be enjoyable.
That people love went, it. This should I'm not be a musical.
Yeah. Great,
and
even
I will say that it's there's a lot of people that love these, so I'm not going to discount them. And I know we're not supposed to read negative reviews, but if they're so ridiculous, then we can't not take a look, right?
Mm-hmm. Life is
Thank
for
you
the living.
For the disclaimer.
Yes. And also, if there's any spelling or grammatical errors, I'd never fix those, because if you're going to put this kind of negativity into the world, then you should have your flaws put on blast for all to see. Or to hear, in this case.
Beautiful.
So
Absolutely.
Here we go. Here's the first one.
Okay.
They all have titles as well, which is nice. My friends asked me to download it. Declined. I've seen bad, campy, historically funny bad. but this is just plain old bad. Even for free, there is no redeeming reason to watch this movie. So like I said, there'll be three. Next one, euthanize this movie. Without a doubt, the worst movie of the decade. Oh. The acting was eye-rollingly bad, and the best character in the movie was played by a pop star with no acting experience. And finally, this one might give it away. This is a horrible nightmare. This is a hairball some lunatic at Universal
cats.
Coughed up.
Cats, 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 cats.
You all know it. It is definitely cats. Very good. It definitely right. is cats. Mm. Definitely a polarizing production.
I have still not seen it.
You haven't seen the film?
Me no. neither.
I will say what you want about the movie. The experience of watching the movie in theaters was one of the best nights of my entire life.
That's so, what you know, about Mamma Mia.
What are you
going to
do?
Here we go again.
Yeah, it's one like it's like you can say what you want about the quality, but about the thing, but also you have to encompass the experience within yeah. this review. And watching it on your computer, no. You should watch it on the biggest screen you possibly can. Butthole cut preferred.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Always.
Oh, man. Okay, great. What's our next one?
I think that
spot?
More movies should offer a butthole cut.
I completely
that's,
agree.
I mean, I'm just going to say it. I don't know. Maybe
yeah,
that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Call me Butlow. Okay.
Anyway, here's the next one. Way to kill a great musical. Some of the best music ever written is utterly destroyed by pompous, pretentious people. Really bad singing, CGI, bad casting, just awful.
Oh.
No, I have two more.
Okay.
No,
Sweeney.
It's not.
I think it's Sweeney.
Into the Woods.
None of those, but let's okay. keep going. Maybe this next one will help out a little bit.
Gigi.
Amateurs. I don't like musicals. I love them. And then in parentheses, with professionals. This is a hot mess done with amateur singers, which takes all the fun and quality of the musical out of it. I was not able to take bad performers scream throughout the movie without musical talents.
Yeah. Oh God,
my ears have been tortured and finally left the theater... And finally left the theater before the end of the movie, so yeah. And then finally, this one should give it away by the title itself, Les Terribles, a musical for tone-deaf people. Excruciatingly dire, yes, that is correct.
God, for the record, the movies I'm throwing out, I don't agree, but I do, and we're trying to guess the film.
Yes,
so I just want
absolutely.
No one to tie my opinion to this opinion. We're playing a game, you silly geese.
Yeah.
So,
because in truth, you had the Aaron debate going on in the film. Hugh Jackman was splendid. I think that all of that rage and all is and rightfully so directed at one Russell Crowe.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I don't mind that movie at all. I actually, yeah. I mean, you don't find me watching it on a normal Tuesday. Like it's a feat to put that movie on. But I'm like that. I don't know. I'm like there have been, you know, that's not bad. It was pretty epic. You know,
I just saw a great interview with Anne Hathaway where they had her, one was Vanity Fair, watch back at your performances. Things.
Yeah,
she did Devil Wears Prada and Les Mis. And they had her watching Dream to Dream, and she gets all upset. She's like, I just imagine she was like, you know when you watch a match and the flame is just slowly going out, but you want it to stay alight? I feel like that was her. And I was like,
wow.
Thanks, Anne. Yeah. She won the Oscar, lest we forget.
It went.
It came true.
I think if they did that same interview exercise with Russell Crowe, he'd be like, I did what? So, I don't know.
Like, I don't remember this movie.
Was I there? Okay.
Oh, I don't remember this movie.
That I remember seeing in theaters, and everybody applauded when he jumped off the bridge. And
that's horrible. And, oh, he makes that sound when he lands.
Yeah, when he hits the neck.
That crack.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, I like that. I love that crack, though, because I was so mad at him.
Oh, my God, monster.
Okay. All right, last one.
Last one, absolutely. Here it goes. Dud, dead, dumb, numb. I was about to vomit my lunch. This was the poorest excuse for a film I've ever seen in a long time. For a movie set in my hometown... They certainly don't do much to highlight it. Why not show the culture and the amazing people that live there? It's not filled with criminals, or at least didn't used to be. Next.
Rent?
Let's shake the camera some more. Terrible picture. Awful, bloody film. I was so bored. Lead actress only has one face and one emotion, and it's that of someone that just ate a Sour Patch Kid. That's rough. If this flick wins the Oscar, it will follow in the footsteps of other horrible winners like... Shakespeare in Love and Titanic. Throwing a little shade at someone else. And then finally, great stage show that should never have been made into a film. How could this film even get on the radar of the Oscars? Apostrophe S. I've heard local amateur, which is spelled the way I've never heard or never seen amateur spelled before. I've seen local amateur productions of the show with better singing. The only acting of notice was the role of Amos and the only
Chicago?
Art direction worth a nomination. It sure was.
That's one of the best films of all time. How dare this person?
Period.
How dare this person?
That's why I added it.
Thank you, Chris, for doing this. That was horrific.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I'm just going to say it. Whoever's writing, well, first of all, they're no Stephen King, are they, for the writing style?
They're not even Dan Brown.
They're slapping a bunch of words together, but I agree. Shame on whoever wrote that review.
Not my hometown.
Shame.
Not you being like, it takes place in Chicago, my hometown.
They probably, also, whoever wrote this review, you're comparing your hometown in 2000 whatever to 1923 yeah. Chicago. Yeah,
why didn't they showcase Portillo's more? I don't understand.
What about our deep dish?
Where was Uno's? I didn't see a single.
Lou Malnati's wasn't even featured.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable. Oh my god.
Wow.
Okay.
Thank you. Wow.
Wow.
Enraged. Now we're enraged. And now comes the time for even greater rage. Or to create a rage. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
We are now we're fit to be tied. We're in a full-blown rage. We're hulking out.
Now I'm just excited to go rewatch Chicago and then leave it. Fabulous reviews. But speaking of movie musicals, I think we need to get into our countdown, Tyler, of you giving us your top five Broadway musicals that have yet to be turned into movies that will then be roasted
Should
by
be.
Vicious people on the internet. So,
yeah.
The circle of life.
All right, Tyler, the moment of truth is here. Now we've got to know, what are your top five movies that need to be made into musicals? I'm so into this because the sky's the limit. I can't wait to hear what you have.
Yes.
Obviously, I had to give this a lot of thought.
Yeah.
And a lot of musicals have been made into movies already or are actively pitched to be movies. And one of these on my list has been kicked around for so many years that I'm like, I have decided that it doesn't count because there hasn't been any, you know, actual forward momentum with it. It's just been like an announcement in a Playbill article once. So I refuse to, you know, to take that out of the running. So I'm going to be starting with number five.
Yes, please.
And number five for me is She Loves Me. Bach and Harnack's perfect gem of a musical.
Yes,
with Joe Mastroff's book. Obviously, Joe Mastroff also did the book for Cabaret. I think there's that book writer, knows what he's doing. And ultimately, of course, it's based on the play Perfumery, which was made into a film and then another film. So there have been films of this, most famously Shop Around the Corner. Oh, wait, and then I guess You've Got Mail is also really famous. Both are really famous.
Yeah. You've Got Mail is like my happy movie when I'm sad,
the
I
best.
Get ice cream and watch it. But also Shop Around the Corner, absolutely delightful film. Oh,
you
always
vanilla
ice cream.
Cream.
Yeah,
it?
You need
okay,
to.
Perfect.
Who do you think I am?
Tyler, one thing we've learned about Michael is that he has been known to eat vanilla ice cream in the shower whilst
I don't
singing
recommend
vanilla
it.
Ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
I
phenomenal
recommend
work.
It, though. Dairy and
okay.
hot water just
sounds
don't mix.
Wet sounds oh interesting sounds
yeah.
melty
especially if you're mildly lactose intolerant and you don't really have high notes it's just it's a rough situation.
I'm so sorry.
But it's your shower.
It's your shower, honey. But yes, She Loves Me, I would say, because ultimately I think what the most recent revival, I believe in 2016, taught us was you know, the if you can really flesh out Marachek's and like make it an ornate, you know, Budapest style Perfumery, then I mean the visuals could be just fantastic, and I'd be obsessed to see, you know, She Loves Me on the streets of Budapest, like a beautiful soundstage. I can see it being Technicolor. I see it being a really fantastic movie musical. And
do you know what?
What?
What if it was Wes Anderson?
Oh, sure. Something wacky, something with an amazing like sense of
cool.
color and perspective. I just think the score is so undeniable. It's for me, no skips. I think it's like an absolutely perfect musical. I think it's absolutely delightful. It has that darkness, you know, with Maritrek accidentally missing him. He tries to kill himself in it, which we forget, but he fails, thank God. But I just think the opportunity to translate the world of She Loves Me on screen is one that I'm interested to see and could really like be some powerhouse performances from some soprano. some Sopranos, some delicious, delightful. I can imagine the cast just being so fire. And it's funny. It's like a fun, it's a musical comedy. Yeah. So
it's a delight.
So that's, I love it. For me, I think, you know, it's recognizable material in terms of the, you know, the source material. But, you know, we love a rom-com, and I think there's fun opportunities for it. Romantic atmosphere in like a full production number in a restaurant. Like, that would be fantastic.
I
don't know.
It would be.
I love
this idea. Just want to say when they hear this, they, you know, them. When they hear this, that Amanda Seyfried is going to campaign for the role here. Just don't do it this time.
For Molly Abolish.
Yeah, just don't do it this time.
No, the tea.
This one time. Sit it out.
Sit it out.
Yeah.
She's, I'm sure, listening. And she's taking notes. So are we able to move on to number four?
Let's do it.
Okay, we're moving on.
Number four. An Aaron's and Flaherty classic, Once on this Island. I think Once on this Island would make an absolutely phenomenal movie.
Yeah.
Because, again, you have to think about setting. I think with all of mine, setting is a huge part of the story and where it takes place. It's almost, say with me, another character. And with Once on this Island, in terms of the actual island and like where we're taking place, I'm thinking of the car crash. I'm thinking of the rain. I'm thinking of how all four of the gods are four. Is that right? Am I saying?
Four.
Or are there three
yes.
of them?
Yeah.
No, they're four. God, Tyler, don't doubt yourself. how they all translate in film, the interesting, you know, movie magic that can be done there. I just think it has, you know, whimsy, almost like a fairy tale quality, and I think could be fantastic and filmed on location somewhere stunning.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, I'm waiting for life to begin. Like, you could just do the most incredible, you know, sequence with Timon singing. I'm like, it could be phenomenal.
I'm just picturing Mama Will Provide with all
I mean, exactly.
The things just coming to life. Like,
yes.
Oh, my God.
It feels like almost obvious. I just think it would be phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal.
Like, why hasn't Disney done this?
My sentiments, exactly. It just seems like it could be a phenomenal, like a really visually stunning piece.
Oh, 1,000%.
So I think Once on this Island. Spoiler alert, there is another Aaronson Flaherty on this list. They are represented twice here. But
So Disney, who's also listening, go ahead and do this. Amanda Seyfried, again, you don't
need
to be in this one either.
not her role, unfortunately.
Unfortunately for you here. Disney, hear what we
go
say.
For it. Yeah. Go for it. I think, I'm imagining, and that's just like the castle and I think there's a lot of opportunity for some movie magic here.
Yes. Okay,
so we're moving on to number three.
Let's do it.
Moving on to number three.
I'm loving this so far.
The Light in the Piazza.
Yes!
Talk about setting being a character in the show. I think if we get to be in Firenze and see, you know, and have the titular song sung in, like, a piazza.
An actual piazza?
Like,
not just by a gay tourist spinning around telling his boyfriend to film him and his boyfriend saying no.
No, like, yeah, sort of exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, statues and stories, like, stunning. Like, you actually could just walk through, you know, Italy, and you can, like, see, you know. I think the setting, and also, I mean, talk it, like, that score in a movie setting would be stunning, and just, like, an amazing, talk about another, again, I think I just want Sopranos on screen. I think it's an amazing opportunity. I think Kelly O'Hara could easily be in the film, or Audra McDonald could be in the film. I want one of the Broadway greats to have her, like, Oscar nomination moment with this film.
Like,
I think
Vicky Clark. She's not too old.
Vicky Clark,
like,
can come back and
do it.
Come on.
Yeah, again, and to, speaking of movie stars, though, Meryl Streep, who's also listening. I'm going to say, Meryl, you can pass on this one, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure. Like, you and
You're
Amanda
going...
can both pass it. You're wonderful, but you don't need to do this film.
You're gonna want to do it. Don't do it.
Yeah,
you're gonna want to do it. I mean, that's a hard thing. I think she would understand that. That's a hard thing.
She did Florence Foster Jenkins. She's aware here.
Yeah, she did. God, I forget that happened.
Beautiful. What a good... Yeah. I'm 1,000% with you on that.
You're taking us all over the world with this.
The point. I'm taking you all over the world.
Yay.
But we will get back to New York for my last two. My last two. We're going back to the city, honey. Number two, Ragtime. Ragtime. Think the grandeur. I think we're
the
scared.
The grandeur!
I think if you look at that 98 production and how much money they funneled into that show and how magical it was to see fireworks on stage every night, see a real car, see three full-sized ensembles on stage at once, I think the way that show worked best when it was done with no holds barred and done with a bunch of money. And I can't help but think of the visual world of this movie, of how epic it would be. How would you stage the opening number? Would it be like on the streets of New York? Where would it be? Like, how would you do the narration of everyone? Like, I'm thinking about Evelyn Nesbit and how like the world of that, like how, you know, it's such a journey, that show, The Night That Goldman Spoke at Union Square, where you get to see like an entire, you know, like rally. Oh my God. And then obviously our children, I'm imagining like how intimate and incredible that could be on screen. That's such an intimate and small moment. I just think there's a lot of kinks that could be ironed out with that show on screen. I don't know, y'all. I get chills thinking about it.
I think you're right. I'm getting chills too. And I think you're right. I think it would have to be of an epic scale. Like, this would need to be...
Like Christopher Nolan needs to do.
We're putting this out for Oscar contention kind of jam.
No, this is an Oscar...
It's 3.5 hours long.
It comes out in December.
Yeah. It's definitely coming out in December. Yeah.
It's a Christmas movie, but like a dark Christmas movie. But yeah, that's what you need, one of those big, big directors, like a Chris Nolan or a Tom Hooper, somebody who's going to like really go for it.
That will, again, like, just someone who understands how the material should be treated and what the world looks like and, you know, in the turn of the century garb, turn of the century. I mean, it's just, I got the getting ready rag, like, or Henry Ford, how it, like, in a factory. Yeah. Like, it would be so expensive, but so expensive. worth it. And it's ultimately my dying wish. If someone else doesn't make it, I will make enough money in my lifetime to produce it. And it's going to be great. So, because this needs to happen, and I think people are scared of it. It's a tall task, but I think it's necessary.
It's absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should I move on to my...
It's time.
Let's do it.
Drum roll, please.
Hard to beat Ragtime, but my number one choice is Follies. Follies. There's a few reasons for this. Follies is one of my all-time favorite musicals. It's Stephen Sondheim. I think, ultimately, with younger generations, it's very underappreciated because... you know, it's not as accessible. You don't see people singing a lot of Follies material for college auditions. It's just one of the shows that can't permeate into your psyche unless you look for it. And I think once you find it, you never forget it. And that's this movie for me. I think I was just talking to someone about this the other day about making Follies into a film and the opportunities you have for the ghosts in the theater, the younger versions of everyone following. I think Waiting for the Girls Upstairs could be a phenomenal, like, one shot where we go backwards through time, where we see the theater and then, like, where in its grandeur. I think there's so many opportunities for seeing the Follies, like, done and a full Follies and then transitioning into the theater that's about to be torn down. I think we can get some of the greats that are still alive, but you know, we don't have that much time. Like, Liza can be singing I'm Still Here.
Liza?
Absolutely.
Meryl could be in this one, though.
Meryl could be in it, absolutely.
Meryl could totally
be in this one. Sally for sure.
And she could give her an accent. She loves that. You know, Sally could be from wherever she wants.
No, wherever she wants.
Like, she's Australian now.
Yeah, why not? You know, why not? She's from Australia.
I just think
Follies seems like and it's been kicked around. People say that there's a Follies movie happening, but I have not seen anything aside from just an article saying that it might happen. But I think after Into the Woods, I think people are scared of approaching Sondheim material.
Yeah.
I know Merrily's happening in 20 years. But I think Follies is the one that lends it. Like, Sunday at the Park of George is my favorite musical. Do I think it'd make a good movie? No. I think CGI would kill it. I think it would not be cute. So, whereas Follies wouldn't require any. It would be, and it could all take place inside of a theater.
Yeah.
And with limitation comes creativity. I think think about the costume design and think about the performances from older actors, like actors that are looking, you know, and we can get some of the greats to do this. And I think they would because it's that kind of material. Meryl does come to mind. as you know, she's one of Sondheim's girls, Christine Baranski. I'm talking about like people in this generation that are looking for meaty material. I mean, oh my God, bring her in. Glenn. Like all of these girls could come in and do it. And I think that's it gets me excited even thinking about the prospect. But you guys have to make it fast, whoever is trying to make this, because
we're running
some of
out
the greats,
of time.
We're running. I mean, it's true. Like we are. Like Liza singing I'm Still Here Forever on screen, that we're running out of time. And she would do it.
Amazing.
Like
she'd panhandle for it on the street. Will Folly's film for food.
Oh, precisely. Exactly. I just think, I think about if they did that and did it right, I think it would be definitely an Oscar contender. And I think it would just introduce younger people to this show. Yeah. I think because it's not done very often. You have to have huge productions of it to afford these, you know, seasoned actors. It's a hard show to, and it's really expensive to pull off. But when Follies is done correctly, oh my God, there's nothing better than it. It stays with you. You never forget. Oh, cuckoo bananas.
Cuckoo bananas. I applaud you. These are excellent.
Thank you so much.
Choices.
I'm out of breath. I got some of my passion.
I'm a little bit clutched myself.
That's the thing about this show, though. It gets you all worked up.
I'm all worked up right now. The fact that I have to wait to hear yours, that's a special torture.
You're welcome.
It's right up there with picking, because I'm still new to the show, and they kicked me off with picking like my top 10 musicals of all time and like top 10 musical theater songs.
Hateful.
Do you know how hard that was?
I can't even imagine. I don't know where to start.
It's just rude. It's tough, and every time I think it's going to get easier, and it's not. These are always really excruciating.
But I loved how specific this question was. I was able to do. I was like, you know what? It took a few days, but I was able to narrow her down. There were some honorable mentions, but I won't get into that because they're probably on your lists.
Well, you think? Maybe?
We'll see.
Well, you're a dreamboat. Thank you for being with us and counting down with us and playing our reindeer games.
Of course. My honor, my privilege. Again, this is my favorite thing to talk about in the world. It's rare that it's not every, even in New York City, it's not every day where you list off these five shows and everyone knows what you're talking about. So it is refreshing to, you know, just talk to nerds.
Nerds and your fellow old soul when it comes to theater taste as well, which is always appreciated.
My heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. And so nice to finally meet you.
I know, what a treat.
Like you're another one where I feel
really
like I knew
coming.
You.
Because I
followed you for so long, and so I was just like,
my heart.
In my brain, it's like, oh, you're an old friend, which
yeah,
you know,
no,
in that
you
creepy
are.
Instagram way.
No, but you are, and it's not creepy, it's beautiful.
it's a little creepy.
It is.
All right.
Well,
go out there, spread joy.
And remind everyone
I'll try real quick
where they can follow you
and keep
up with you and you know where they can catch your film when it's ready and all that stuff.
Amazing. Oh, my gosh, so many questions. if you're not sick of me by now, you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at Tyler Joseph Ellis. If you want to see what I'm up to, go to tylerjosephellis.com. I just, you know, updated the website, so feel free to make your way over there. And, yeah, the short film, people need to donate to the campaign, and then I'll let you know when it is coming out.
So
it's expensive.
Yeah.
But,
while Liza's out there panhandling for Follies, you'll be right next
me
to her
co-star.
Doing it.
I'll be right next to her, and I think we'll do really good work together.
Perfect.
We'll take Liza's sloppy seconds any old day of the week. Offer it up.
Yeah.
And that's really the point of this show. Okay.
We did it.
Well, bye. Thanks, Tyler.
Bye, friends.
Thank you.
Well, that was so much fun. That kiddo's going places, I tell you what.
Oh my God, so many places. And quickly, he's got long legs. He's going to get there very fast.
What a stride. What a gait.
What a gait, indeed.
What a canter. All right.
Yes.
I thought some of his choices were beautiful.
I
thought all of his choices were beautiful. In particular, the way he was describing the light in the piazza as a film. I just thought that was glorious. But those are some good ones. But let's talk about ours and see where we have any, if there's any crossover.
Yes, because I think there's going to be a spoiler.
I think maybe. Give us the red hot recap of your 10 through 6.
Yes, my 10 through 6 were Paradise Square.
Right.
Beautiful, the Carole King musical. Avenue Q, the funky psychedelic music. Strange Loop and City of Angels.
Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous.
Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah, I want a film noir, oldsy timesy, sepia toned Wild Party, Andrew Lippa Wild Party film. I want a Lorax computer generated image, Seussical the musical for the kids on Thanksgiving. I want that. There's just no reason why it shouldn't happen. I'm excited to support Doug Lyons in the Big River film. That's my number 8. Number 7, Spamalot. It's foolproof. Just reshoot the old movie and add the musical numbers. And my number 6, which we were all really jazzed about, was a super chaotic reality shaky camera American Idiot. The
yes!
Movie. Oh, yes. Yeah!
American That's Idiot! Good.
Gets yeah. me right in my growl.
Yeah, your growl!
Except my that quickly just becomes, I don't know, like Harvey Fierstein.
Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah, Beetlejuice. That's much cooler.
Yeah. And what it does to me is it's like, I gotta go see the doctor! I give myself nodes immediately.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All
the
right.
7th show of an 8-show week. Yeah. All right. Okay. Would you like to kick us off? Or
do you know what? I'd be happy to.
Oh, my
I'd
God.
Be happy
Thank
to go first
you.
This time. Thank All right. You. All right. Picture it. Number okay. 5. Picture it.
Fat.
It's a Merchant Ivory film. It is okay. so lush. It is so beautiful. It is so distinguished. It is so on location. It's in India. It's on the ports. It's back in Britain. It's foggy. It's misty. It's moody. There's a castle. There's a house on a hill. Because it's time for the Secret Garden to be made
oh.
into a Merchant Ivory style.
Yes.
film. It would be
yes.
so beautiful. A lot of the ones that I've chosen, I think thus far, have been like on the more contemporary, like lighter side. But this, I want to just be a beautiful epic. I want to see the spokes of the wheels of the carriages going up the
yes.
path. I want to see, I want the ghostly appearances to be really strange and ethereal. And I think we need a budget for this one. But Merchant
oh.
Ivory...
Yeah, I'm
going
to use all my United points to get around to all these
yeah.
places where we're filming.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
That's good, right? Yeah, I like it too. It would be beautiful.
Yeah, and add it to the list of Secret Garden film versions because they're all wonderful. That is a book that translates well to everything.
There's so many.
There really are. There's so many Mrs. Matlocks. Soon we're going to do our top 10 Mrs. Matlocks.
Matlocks. Or just our top 10 Matlocks.
yeah.
Which begins and ends with, wait, who played Matlock?
Oh, yeah. Oh, who did?
Leslie Neal? Well, wait, no.
Maybe.
Who's Matlock?
We'll talk, we'll find out and let you know in our Patreon, which
yeah.
you should check out for only $5 a month.
Now, absolutely. What's your number 5?
My number 5, the first crossover of the episode. I agree with Tyler. My number 5 is Once on This Island. And I just would love to see like what Disney would do with it. I agree. I think this is definitely one where it's like, I want to see the fun family version of this where like Rob Marshall and Disney do what they did with Into the Woods, get together and just make a fun, fabulous version of Once on This Island.
All right. Go with me on this. This is going to be full Wes Anderson style. And I think, I don't know if there's just some sort of like crossover minutia here for me with like Andy Griffith was Matlock.
Andy, sorry, we just have that pregnant pause that you just heard, that waitress pause was us finding out that Andy Griffith was indeed Matlock.
That's right.
Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
We held you in such suspense.
To shine so bright so late in life. That's great. All right, so I think Wes Anderson needs to. I don't know if I'm just thinking about the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Maybe.
But I think I might be. But I want to. I think Grand Hotel, the musical film.
Yes.
Would be wonderful.
Okay, that was on my list. So
interesting, eccentric characters. Yes. And
yeah.
Because I was saying that I felt like Wes Anderson could do like a She Loves Me situation, but this is what I see for Grand Hotel. Like, I just think We'll All Raise a Glass. I can see that just being so kooky and the visuals just being so stark and grandiose. And I think Wes Anderson directing Grand Hotel. Yeah. And
so
much fun. Like,
that,
I want to go to Hollywood would be such a great number.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just.
You're taking us to some fun places between that and Wild Party. From
yeah.
from the last episode. Yeah, you're taking us to some cool, like, grunge jazz age places.
Grunge jazz age places.
Yeah.
Very on brand. Very on brand.
Oh, love it.
All right.
My number four is, and I have a sneaky suspicion this is going to be on your list, but you haven't said it yet, is Miss Saigon.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Proceed. I would love to see, like, Spielberg do Miss Saigon. Spielberg does a war film well, whether producing or directing. And I can just see this as, like, a big, grand, epic, like, IMAX-y movie musical. That helicopter, they do something in the theater where the wind blows on you, like it's 4D. And I think you go with it sort of like a big, you know, I know people had some thoughts about certain things in the Les Mis movie, but that sort of like huge grand scope. Production of Saigon, I think it could be really incredible and win all the special effects Oscars.
So here's the crazy thing. Of course, I put it on my list to think about because we all know that it's one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
Hands down. I could not visualize a way in which, and this is why it stopped me from putting it on there, I can't visualize a way, maybe more so now, where that could be a successful film without, I don't know. And what, now that you said Spielberg, I think that's the only way, because now I'm thinking like Saving Private Ryan, and I'm thinking about Schindler's List and these grand wartime epics.
Yeah.
And knowing what he was able to do with West Side Story.
Mm-hmm.
If I accept this and also do too want this, if it's Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, I think it's just Spielberg or somebody like a Spielberg that could pull that off. And also you need like his name for it too. Like Steven Spielberg presents Miss Saigon.
That's just going to be, every time I visualize like the sluts and the GI, it starts to feel too campy to be in real, to be in a real space.
Uh-huh. No, that would be Guy Ritchie's version. That would be his take on it. Which would be wildly entertaining. I mean, incorrect, but entertaining. Also, like, Ridley Scott maybe could do it, too. Like
Christopher Nolan.
I feel like Christopher Nolan is almost too... I can't find the word. Oppenheimer.
That's the word.
Too cerebral. I don't know. It needs to be somebody who can be just a little bit more sort of like lean into the theatricality of it all, which I feel like Spielberg could do. Anyway, but it's funny you say that because Miss Saigon was one of the first ones that sprung to mind for me.
It would have to be massive. It would just have to be so huge. I mean, I don't know that the budget exists to do what you would have to do to make this movie better or on par with what they're able to do on stage with this.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, I think Spielberg Morning could pull
of it off. Think about Morning of the Dragon, just how huge that would have to be.
Yeah, but imagine that on screen.
All right, I'll go.
Properly, it'd be so good. Oh, the scene where they're evacuating. Oh my God.
Which is the best scene in the show. Okay. No. All right, beautiful. Number three to me.
Yes.
We continue to count down. My number three is my first crossover with my good Juddy, and my number three is City of Angels.
Oh, yay!
And for all the reasons that I agreed to your reasons on in the last episode. So if you are one of those people who likes to cut corners and just jump to the top five, I assure you it's well worth it to listen to the full top 10. So go back in time, click play and subscribe.
Indeed.
But City of Angels, done and done. Nothing more to say about it.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Great movie. It'll be great
movie. Doesn't exist.
Loved it. Okay, speaking of crossovers, though, so Spamalot was in my top five. And so when you said Spamalot, I was like, okay, but you already said it. So let me like take a second since I did have a second to rethink. So my new number three is Kimberly Akimbo.
Okay. I thought about her.
Would be a really sweet, like, indie film. Shot sort of in the style like Juno. Very, like, a very low budget, just, like, in the house. And I think because these people, so many of them dream of a life that they don't have. So many of them are not satisfied with where they're living. So I can just see the scene on the couch where the mother has her two hands and casts, like, just singing into the camera. Yeah. And you're cutting between kind of seeing it and the video of it. think you could play with that, like almost as if the POV is this kid of the future watching back their home videos. And I can just see the scene in the basement with them all singing and sort of going through it. And I don't know if this is because it's like maybe all the songs are just from Kimberly's point of view and it's just sort of like in her, not Kimberly. Why am I blanking? Her name actually is. Yeah. For a second, I was like, is that the anagram? No. But yeah, anyway, I think this could be a really sweet,
LaBarca,
lovely,
right? Isn't her last
lovely
name?
Little movie. Yeah, LaBarca? That's LaBarca? Something like that. Yeah. But yeah, I think it'd be great.
I can see that. I can absolutely see that. I see them like zooming in on the like crappy little house that they live in and like going to the... But who are you casting as Kimberly? In a major motion picture.
It's hard because I really want it to be Victoria Clark, but like to get to redo it, but I think it's going to be Meryl Streep.
Oh, yeah. It's obviously Meryl Streep.
It's Meryl. Oh, and she's going to win her fourth Oscar for it because she's going to be... It's Meryl playing a 16-year-old. It's the one accent she hasn't done yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, of course it's Meryl. That's probably already happening. It's going to be fun to look back and see how many of these things come to fruition.
I know.
We will take credit for them.
Oh, 1,000%.
Even though, you know, we had nothing to do with it.
Great minds, right? Oh, or Cate Blanchett. Because can Cate Blanchett sing? Just wait until she's old enough and then let her... No, she's too glamorous. She's too glammy. No, stick with Meryl Streep. Sorry.
Okay.
Ignore me.
I mean, I'll stick with Meryl Streep. I wonder if Jean Smart can sing.
Ooh. Because that would be good, too.
Yeah. I don't know why that came into my mind.
She deserves to be there.
I just love divine actresses. I mean, divine actresses of a certain age. They're my favorite.
Yeah. Because it would be Judi Dench 10 years ago.
Right. Obviously. Yeah. Maggie Smith. Always. We know we love.
She's fine.
She's fine, if you like that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Number two. This is a huge, big budget Scorsese situation.
Great.
As well. This is like the Gangs of New York, but it's got to be gritty and it's almost got to be like one of those things where it's... Oh, I don't want to say this out loud, but it's got to be almost like... It's got to be 3 hours long and it needs to be almost like it's barely a musical at all, even though it has to be a great big beautiful musical.
Okay. And it's not beautiful, the musical.
No. It's the historic epic of a lifetime on film, opening on Christmas, a nation beginning, Ragtime.
Oh, another... great minds, you and Tyler. Another Ragtime. One, there we are.
Yeah, yep. Both of our number two.
Yeah.
But absolutely, right?
Yeah. I 1,000% agree. Like, yeah. Honestly, I huzzah this yet again. This needs to exist.
A double huzzah.
Yeah, this is a massive... And you're right, that is just a gigundous budget.
Huge.
Blowout movie musical. Huge. Yeah.
Epic, historic blockbuster.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And speaking of crossovers, I'm going to reiterate another one because it's on my list. My number two is his number three. I'm going to steal is Light in the Piazza.
I thought maybe because I
do love that show's, you know, I need Ang Lee to direct this. Like, I've had this in my head for a while. I need Ang Lee to come and do what he did to what's the one about the kid and the tiger, anyway, Life of Pi, Brokeback Mountain, and just like I just think he would be the perfect director for it, and it would be sweeping and gorgeous, and I would love every second of it.
Yeah.
So that would be great minds.
Gorgeous.
I mean, yeah. Clearly, we're all in a roll if we're picking similar shows. Like, producers, listen. Yeah. Clearly, we know what we're talking about.
We're talking to you, Mr. Producer.
Yeah. Hey, Mr. Producer.
We don't got a lot.
How does that song go?
Only what we got. Just a theater countdown and a follow spot. And a ring
Patreon.
Light spot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We're killing
someday,
it.
Someday, maybe.
If I stick it long enough,
counting down, I'll show my stuff.
working for whoever.
Working for Danny. And he's listening.
Danny, you'll produce these films. All right.
My number one.
And I am so glad that we are doing this countdown, this list, because I'm fed up. I'm up to here. And if you could see where I'm putting my hands, it's above my tall hairline. Up to here.
Well above.
With waiting around and hemming and hawing about this. And it needs to happen because it's the only way that I can foresee we can finally get this Glenn Close doesn't have an Oscar thing off the table. This is ridiculous. Time is up. Please, people, pull it together and make the Sunset Boulevard movie. I'm shouting because I'm so over this nonsense.
Save
What's
her.
The big deal?
I
make
don't know.
The movie.
Why she's can't not, they get the funding?
She's not too old yet. I don't care if a chimpanzee in a tutu directs it. I don't care.
I know. Get an
the
iPhone woman literally
on her
did a
right
full revival
now. You can
of
CGI
it.
Make
specifically
her,
to
I don't
get
know
the movie
do.
Made.
She's not too old. It's fine to play Norma Desmond a little bit older. This is. I need this so much. And she will win an Oscar before the movie's released. It's not an issue.
The
and then
moment
we can all
the
be
deadline
like, well,
announcement comes out.
We'll all say things like, well, it was worth the wait, wasn't it, Glenn? And she'll be like, yes, my whole life. That's my Glenn Close impression. Yes, that's my good. Whole life was waiting for this moment. Oh, thank you for listening. I'm just so sick of it. It was happening. It wasn't happening. It was happening. It's not happening. It has to happen in my lifetime.
Yeah, in her lifetime. That needed to be said. I feel your pain. I think many people here listening feel your pain, except for the people that are listening because we're in the top 10 podcasts about the Book of Mormon.
For the Mormons.
They
Mormons,
don't get
you
it.
Will love Mormons. You will love this movie.
Yeah, get behind this. Give it all your money.
There's no premarital sex on stage.
None.
Very few curse words. Sure, there's a couple Catholics and a German, but it's just
fine.
Suspend your disbelief.
Exactly. They sing. It's not real life. Oh my god, you're right. Oh my god, I am verklempt. I feel like I'm so angry. I need a water. I know. I've never seen you this worked up before. But you're so right. You're so right.
I am.
Oh my god. I just heard a pop. Are you drinking kombucha? Do you need to replenish your gut after that?
I'm having some lime flavored bubbly from my Soda Stream. Sponsor us. I need to wet my whistle after expending this much rage.
Yeah, you need to. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Please make the Sunset Boulevard movie with Glenn Close. Why did she even do the musical?
The only reason. You know what's going to happen, though? The Nicole Scherzinger one is going to come be a massive hit, and she's going to get the movie. And Glenn
is going
to literally burn down a building. Like,
oh my god, Glenn Close
is going to go.
Glenn Close will become radioactive and become a giant Godzilla-type King Kong monster, and she will storm the city radioactively tearing down skyscrapers looking for the blood of Nicole Scherzinger
and
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
With one look, she will crumble an entire city.
Oh,
lasers will come out. She'll be like, with one. Like, that's how this is going to go.
The people run and scream.
We will not be screaming. We will stand there and we'll be like, we agree with you, Glenn Closeinator. Like,
justice for the monster, we'll say.
Yeah, Glennzilla. And that will be the most justified raising of a city you have ever seen.
Bring me Webber.
And you know what? The only other voice you'll hear is Patti LuPone's in the background going, I told you! It'll be Patti.
Oh, Carmine is a bitch. Carmine is my boyfriend.
And that's how Glennzilla will be defeated. Is Petzilla will rise, and it will be a battle of the Normas. And the only one who won't survive is Andrew Lloyd Webber.
And if they make a film out of this all happening, They'll call it an enormous hit. I'm putting
Oh my God. I don't even know how to top that, but I will do my darndest. We'll just real quick, because we have to, because we literally have to finish the countdown.
Make sure you follow us on all of our socials and rate and review us. We'll read them. And
yes.
Be our Patreon friend, family friend.
Do it.
And also respond to us on our socials and tell us what's in your countdowns.
Yes, yes. And where tell us how much you agree with us about the Sunset Boulevard movie.
Oh my
God.
All right, go. I'm sorry.
I'm exhausted.
This is your moment.
I can't. I'm
sweating.
Me too.
I'm having a problem.
Yeah, same. I need to go take a shower. That was a lot. I almost wish we had ended with that, because that is the biggest one. Okay, so my number one, we're not going to get nearly as worked up about this, but it's going to be so anticlimactic after that. It's 42nd Street.
Now, of course it is.
I know.
Wait a minute. Hold on. There's a 42nd Street movie. Don't be ridiculous.
There's a 42nd Street movie that the musical is based on. So the movie musical, it's a Busby Berkeley musical that the Broadway musical is based on. They are very different.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, like Ginger Rogers was the original Anytime Annie. It's a really fun musical. It's like one of the great Busby Berkeley stylized musicals of the time. And if you know Busby Berkeley, he's the one who did the sort of kaleidoscope style dance numbers with zillions and zillions of dancers. And then they made a musical version of it in the 80s. Then they did a revival in the early 2000s with Christine Ebersole, Michael Kumsty. I saw the revival in Mary Testa. I absolutely loved it. I love 42nd Street. And I would love someone to take the revival version, because even that's pretty different from the original with Jerry Orbach. And to make that again into another like epic movie extravaganza in the style of Busby Berkeley, but with the technology that we have now.
We have today.
So I would love, and again, I think this is sort of like a Scorsese. This is a director who's obsessed with old movies and cinema history, who would want to take somebody as iconic as Busby Berkeley and those grand musicals of the 1930s and do it with modern technology, like that kaleidoscope with all those dancers. And it's like, imagine that in 3D with all those legs coming at you. Like, this could be I know, we're like, whoa,
just like, dodging, whoa, dear.
They could even have little like taps fly out of the screen and just like get you in the face. It could be, I think, a stunning, I know, duck, gird your loins. I think this could be a really stunning
gird your loins.
That is the movie musical I've wanted since I saw it when I was in high school. And I want somebody to do it. I want someone to make a massive updated version of 42nd Street. And I think it's a story that we need now. This beautiful Peggy Sawyer story of hope. With some razzle dazzle.
Peggy Sawyer story of hope. Yeah. We have Patreon friends in the studio here with. Hi, guys.
Hello.
I'm happy you're here. Mwah, we love you. We love you. We love you.
We do. You're grand. Grand, grand, I say.
You're swell. Just swell.
You're all of them.
Yeah. All right. That's our show for today. Sorry that we got
a love when I say something and you go, yep. Okay.
Yep. All right.
Great. On that note.
I've processed it and we're moving on.
Yes. And you know what? That
is showbiz.
Kid.